Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Yo, yo, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. Michael Carter from the JETS Jets, going to be stopping by 20 minutes from now as the Jets are 6-3 and they're riding high into their bye week. As that's going on right now, week 10 is underway. The Panthers are up 3-0 over the Falcons because, as you know, the Buffalo Bills did just lose to the Jets, so we will connect with Michael Carter of the Jets, who had a touchdown right before the end of the first half in that game to kind of swing the momentum and shift the momentum around and turn around. He'll join us coming up in a few moments. All right, Hickey, right now, when we get to some teams that you're going to give me, I'll tell you where I think their apex is going to be with what we've seen so far 9 weeks into the season. Go ahead.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Their apex, if everything goes right, wild card. They make the playoffs, they're in, and they go home in the first round. And it's because of one reason and one reason only. I can't trust in a big spot their head football coach in Brandon Staley. They have all the talent in the world. I know they've been banged up. They should make the playoffs. But in a controversial, crucial spot, do I think the guy that all he does is trust the analytics is going to get it right in Brandon Staley? No, I don't. I think there'll be some disastrous of a situation in that playoff game if they get there.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Super Bowl. I'm not just talking about getting there. Hoisting the trophy. You're going to have home field advantage. You're going to have to play two home games in order to get to the Super Bowl. And right now, I don't think there is a glaring weakness on this team. You got a good quarterback. Miles Sanders is a good running back. Dallas Goedert may be right now playing like he's the best tight end in the NFC. You have a heck of an offensive line. Two really damn good wide receivers. A great 1-2 punch in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And defensively, that secondary with Darius Slay, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You look at the rest of the names of defense. I know Jordan Davis expected to eventually come back. But you have guys like Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Hassan Reddick. They added Robert Quinn. I don't see a flaw with that football team right now, so I think they could win the entire thing this year.
The Miami Dolphins.
It's a good one. I think they'll be in the playoffs. Can I see them in an AFC title game? I think that's a little premature. I would say divisional round. I could see them winning a playoff game, then playing really strong in the divisional round, and then I could see them just losing close in the divisional round. So I would say divisional round for the Miami Dolphins.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because when I think Minnesota, well, first off, I think of Justin Jefferson and how great he is from our previous conversation. But you always have that concern about the quarterback, who's good, very good, but not great. And you recall a few years ago, they had that great win on the road in New Orleans. No one thought they would win. Had big throw after big throw to Thielen, and then hit Kyle Rudolph for the game-winning touchdown on that fade. But then the next week, in a 7-point game, coming out of half, throws the pick to Richard Sherman, and that game got away since then. I'm going to say it this way. I think if everything goes right, they could get to a Super Bowl. But I still can't envision a world where Kirk Cousins is winning the Lombardi Trophy. So it probably should be just get to the NFC title game, but I'm going to say they could get to a Super Bowl. But I just can't see Kirk Cousins hoisting that Lombardi trophy. Maybe he gets that moment where everyone prematurely celebrates where he's hoisting up the NFC championship trophy. Super Bowl trophy, yeah, I still can't envision that. But the real reason is this year's wide open in the NFL. So there's going to be some crazy things that probably going to pan on out.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Same thing. I think they could get to a Super Bowl. I would not say that every year for Dallas. It's because the NFC is open, but I can't see them hoisting the Lombardi trophy. And I still have trust issues about Dak in the postseason. So can they win a few games? They're going to have to win, though, three games. You know what? I'll change this answer. NFC title game. Participating in the NFC title game, that's the farthest I can see the Cowboys going this year.
The Baltimore Ravens.
I can see them winning the entire thing this year. I know that there's concerns about the health with Rashad Bateman out for the year, Mark Andrews now banged up, and it's all on the shoulder and the legs of Lamar Jackson, and Lamar has not had this great postseason success in a limited sample size. I do think, though, they are trending to being the third best team in the AFC. And if this Josh Allen injury is really bad and it takes maybe the Bills out of the picture, you then have Kansas City, who would be the favorite. After that, I'll take Lamar Jackson, the Ravens.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
If everything goes right, and I know that they were in a Super Bowl last year and could have won it, I'm thinking that's a team, though, this year that things kind of regress a little bit where it's divisional round. See them win a playoff game. I don't know what the way that this team's been playing so far that I could see them winning two playoff games this year. And I love the quarterback in Burrow.
The Tennessee Titans.
One and done? I hate to say it. They're going to win the AFC South. Could they win a home playoff game? Sure. Big game, though. Big spot. Why shall this year be different than any other year when it comes to Ryan Tannehill? I don't trust Ryan Tannehill. And you don't have A.J. Brown anymore. Now, Henry is a force to be reckoned with. Vrabel is a great coach. They got a good defense. Last year, though, we saw if you need Ryan Tannehill throw the football more than you would like, throws the other team, and you end up losing. So, win the AFC South.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The only resistance I have is because it's Brady. And if they could find that offensive line, can they win a Super Bowl with Brady? Anything's possible. With that being said, though, I think with this group, with the coach not being great, little inconsistency in the message with the quarterback and the coach the last few days, I would say just an NFC title game appearance.
The Seattle Seahawks.
You know what? This is going to sound crazy. What's your answer on the Seahawks? They're a playoff team this year. I think they will make the playoffs. I have my answer for the apex, if everything goes right for Seattle. What would your apex be?
Divisional round. I think they can get one playoff win.
I'll take it a step further. NFC title game. This NFC, 49ers, Eagles in no order, Vikings, Cowboys, Rams aren't going to make the playoffs, Packers aren't going to make the playoffs, Tampa's going to win the NFC South. Now, it's tough to really trust Geno Smith, but he's been lights out this year. And you got a great running back in Kenneth Walker. You got a tremendous 1-2 punch in Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And defensively, they keep on getting better week in and week out. And you have a great coach, a coach that's going to be in the Hall of Fame in Pete Carroll. This is, once again, if everything goes right, would it stun me if they win two playoff games? It wouldn't. Now, you may need to go get the 5 seed and have some upsets potentially in the first round so you get a home game and have some wacky things break your way, which is, is that even possible? Is there a way if you're a 5 seed to go get a home playoff game in round 2?
No.
Right? Yeah, so that's impossible. I'm trying to think because the 1 seed, the way that it's structured, yeah, you would need ever. Yeah, that's not happening. Yeah, it's impossible. Well, I guess, hold on. two loses to the 7, three loses to the 6. If they're the 5 and they beat the 4, then they would get a home game. Right? In a wacky scenario. Because the 1 seed gets the bye.
I guess, yeah. 2, 3, 4 lose.
Which is very unlikely.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So you may need that to happen. But that's if everything goes the right way. You're probably right. It's probably more so divisional round. But maybe this is just the team that's been the surprise, and they continue to be the surprise darlings. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's do this. Well, no, we're going to have to we're not going to take a break here because we got Michael Carter coming up at 9:20 p.m. Eastern. Game tonight that's going on right now between the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. We do have the Carolina Panthers up 3-0 against the Falcons, and maybe what could be one of the most boring games of this NFL season. It's pouring in Atlanta in Carolina with Arthur Smith and the Falcons. You knew it was going to be bad weather going into this game. I will say that the Panthers uniforms are awesome. The Panthers uniforms are great in this one right now. They're wearing black uniforms with the Panthers blue up the sides on the shoulders and also across the legs. I think those are really cool uniforms. This game, though, it kind of fits into what the NFC South has been this year. This terrible division, a division that right now, if the season were to end today, with how much we've bitched and complained about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Buccaneers would still be in the playoffs if the playoffs did start today. This is a disappointing effort, though, for the Falcons in the first half. I know that the Panthers' defense is solid. Offensively, though, you have Patterson back. You have Pitts and Drake London. To have 0 points, and now Carolina just scored a touchdown. So that's going to be 9-0, and you're trending into, assuming they make the extra point, make it a 10-0. This is a brutal performance by the Atlanta Falcons. Now, could they come back and win this game? Absolutely. Nothing would surprise me as LaVisca Chenault gets in the end zone for the touchdown. But short week, you end up playing here on Thursday Night Football. Last week, you almost found a way to pull out a victory on Sunday against the Chargers. Probably should have won the game. If they lose this one, it kind of just shows you how, even though everyone was trying to find ways to knock the Bucs and say, oh, maybe Brady misses the playoffs, if the Falcons lose this game, it kind of just shows you that the inevitable is going to happen, that Brady is going to find a way to rise to the top in what, maybe 8 or 9 wins at most in this NFC South, Ryan.
I mean, even if the Falcons win, like, we're talking about a Panthers team that's just falling off the deep end where it would be impressive in a sense that you come back from 10-0, but in reality, Panthers are playing for nothing. And not that we thought the Falcons were going to be playing for much anyway, because again, at least I came to this year thinking that they were going to be, you know, literally the worst team in the NFL. So credit them for even getting to this point of 4-5. But boy, it's the Buccaneers, sometimes it just helps you at the right breaks. The fact that they're in first place at 4-5 goes, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Well, it just shows you, like, when you look at teams, for example, like the Rams and the Packers, because the Rams are 3-5, the Packers are 3-6, the Bucs are 4-5. The Packers, you thought, even when you expected regression this year, they would still win the NFC North, because the Vikings, they're always vacillating between good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. Now they've been really good this year at 7-1. So that puts the Packers at a disadvantage, where if the Packers played in the NFC South, they're still right in the thick of things. You look at the NFC West, not that that's been this great division this year, but you have the Seahawks surprising people at 6-3 and the 49ers at 4-4. If Tampa was in the NFC West, you're not feeling great about Tampa Bay's odds, even though I know they'd be a half game behind the 49ers because the 49ers have already had their bye week and Tampa Bay has not. The Bucs are going to get into the playoffs this year because they're going to win the NFC South. The question just becomes, how much of a threat will they actually become playoff time? Like, you asked me what's the apex for the Bucs, and I said probably get in the NFC title game this year. What would your apex be for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And the only reason why you probably even put this team in a potential spot of getting to an NFC title game this year with the way that it's played the first few weeks is, the only reason is because of the quarterback and what this quarterback has done for the better part of 20-plus years in the NFL.
quarterback and the fact that right now the NFC, it's not very deep and not very scary. So I think Super Bowl still.
Really?
Yeah, I think this could be a 2020 repeat.
Here's my biggest problem, though. That offensive line was good. Down the stretch, they were good. I don't know if that offensive line's ever going to get in a spot where they're good. And it doesn't take a – you don't need to be a brain surgeon to figure this one out. You don't need a PhD in football to figure this one out. Look at the Packers. Look at the Rams. Look at the Bucks. They've all had injuries on the offensive line and inconsistent and more bad play than good play on the offensive line. And as great as Rodgers is, as great as Brady is, Stafford winning a Super Bowl last year, making big play after big play. If you don't have the protection up front, this is not reinventing the wheel. This is not new information that we're giving you. Your offense struggles significantly because the number one key for a successful football team, and that's why it's so remarkable what the Bengals did last year and almost did last year. They had garbage protection and they still almost won the Super Bowl. And in the biggest moments for the Bengals, what killed them? Aaron Donald stuffing the run and then throwing Burrow around like a rag doll. Where if they just got a half second longer of protection, they would have won the entire thing because Jamar Chase was wide open, shrieking down the right sideline. So my big concern, and I don't think the Rams are making the playoffs. I don't think the Packers are making the playoffs. But when you ask about Tampa Bay, yes, they pulled a rabbit out of the hat last week up against the Rams. While I'm going to have a tough time, and I thought they were definitely going to Super Bowl early on in the season, with the way the defense was playing the first 2 weeks, you have Brady, you had a wide-open NFC, no one that you felt great about, and you see that formula before. Whenever it's open, Brady usually makes him pay. With that offensive line being more bad than good, I just have a tough time seeing, with how many injuries they've already suffered, them finding a way to get some continuity on that offensive line and get productive play out of that offensive line unit. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The Jets, red hot. They are 6-3. Surging, surprising to start off the season as they head into their bye week. Jets running back, Michael Carter, who had a touchdown in the game, is going to join us on the other side.
Introducing a new offer from Xfinity. It's unlimited internet with gig speed and supersonic Wi-Fi. And get this, there's no annual contract required, no equipment fees, and a 2-year internet rate guarantee. It even comes with a free Flex 4K streaming box. It's all just $50 a month when you add Xfinity Mobile with unlimited data. The supersonic bundle. Go to Xfinity.com/gig, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store to learn more. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay. New gigabit internet customers only. Xfinity Mobile requires postpay Xfinity internet. After 24 months, regular rates apply to all services and devices.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
The New York Jets are 6-3, and they have entered their bye week coming off a big-time victory, 20-17, up against the Buffalo Bills. And Michael Carter, who's been on this show a bunch, had a big-time touchdown right before the end of the first half to narrow the deficit against Buffalo. He finished the game 12 carries for 76 yards and a score, and he's kind enough to take some time out of his bye week to join us once again on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Michael Carter, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. Good to talk to you again.
Well, great to have you back on. So what have you been up to during the bye week? Doing anything fun?
Really just family time, a little bit of work, a little bit of family time. You know,
how do you
the usual.
Yeah, how do you look back at the first half of this season now sitting there at 6-3?
Yeah, man, it's been a little bit of a ride. It's been fun, though. So being able to, you know, just come out the way we came out, especially like in the last 6 weeks, to put these games together and win games. And not just, you know, you really look at the Cleveland game. We won, you know, we did ride longer, but the Cleveland had a 100% chance to win that game, and they truthfully probably should have. But, you know, the rest of those games we really have put together, and we won them, not just not lost them. So I think it's really cool that we've been able to, you know, have that success.
What do you think you guys have proved through the first 9 games of the season?
Less turnovers, moving the ball down the field on offense, and our defense has been getting the ball back. That's huge. And the field position, I think we got number one special team right now. And now we have a top three one. And, you know, when you put all three of those things together, you know, we got guys that play for each other, and that's been huge. So we're putting it together.
Michael Carter here with us. So you guys have taken down Miami. I know they didn't have Tua. You also found a way to just beat the Bills. Do you kind of feel like you guys should now be the AFC East favorites?
You know, truthfully, I think we're just taking one day at a time. I think that it's important that people know that we are a confident group. You know, we do feel like we're going to win every game, in any game. But there's no more victories in the sport. But, you know, we do feel like we can go. We're gonna go win every game. So we leave that up to, you know, the rest of the people on what they think we should do or what they think the case should be. We just go play ball.
Well, when I met you at the Super Bowl, you told me that you were going to get this thing turned around, and you guys were confident with the people in that building. Why'd you always believe in this group? Because it's one thing to say it, and then it's another thing to have it backed up now with a 6-3 record.
100%. The talent's always been there. It's just growing together. I think that it's really important. You know, like you look at, you know, any situation that ended up being great, like a Michael Jordan. You know, he couldn't really. You know, he couldn't figure it out early in the career, and he was having success individually, but in terms of, like, building a team, you know, it took time, and all great things take time. So I was never, you know, not worried. I was never worried about it. I always knew we're going to get this thing rolling. And, you know, we're here on the bye. We got 6-3, so we hope to keep it going.
Take me through your touchdown right before the end of the first half, because I felt like that was a big momentum swing in the game to get you guys back in it.
Yeah, we had a really good drive. We were just putting together first downs, and you know, I think I had the screen and took it down, and then they had brought it up. Honestly, if I probably would have caught that clean, it would have been a touchdown on that play. But you know, it is what it is. And then the next play, we had ran an inside zone, and it was blocked up perfect. And there was like there was no linebackers. I feel like in front of me, so I kind of felt like I was going to walk in, and the guy blocked it up really, really, really well. And Nate Herbie had a great block on the safety and had him stonewalled, really. And I just walked into the end zone. And then we had fun in the end zone. And I think that's what it's all about. You know, just building that momentum up, swinging it our way, and then having our defense go back out there and get us the ball back, which they're always going to do. You know, we got the best defense in the league.
Michael Carter here with us. So when you look back at the second half of the New England game, we wanted to see how tough this team was going to be because no one was picking you to win the game last week against Buffalo. What was the vibe with the guys leading into that Buffalo game coming off that tough loss to New England?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was more than anything was getting rid of the New England week so that, you know, New England didn't beat us twice. And I feel like we did a really good job of that. And on top of that, like, understanding that the Bills are a good team. But understand that we're a good team as well. So, you know, having all the confidence in the world, you know, to say that, hey, we're going to go win this game. And, you know, I think that confidence shows when we play.
Why is it going to be different coming out of the bye when you guys play New England and you have to go up to Foxborough?
Yeah, I mean, I think understand that we feel like I said, we should win every game. We feel like we should win that game. Obviously, New England's a good team as well. People look at them and they're like, oh, well, you don't really have any guys that are just like, you know, super, super popular. But they have a really good run game with my friend Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. And they play complimentary football. They play a disciplined style. And they just do the right stuff. So understanding that, we're going into their place this time. So, you know, we're going to try to stick with that.
Michael Carter here with us from the 6-3 Jets as they're in their bye week coming off their big victory against the Buffalo Bills. You know how tough it is to adjust to the NFL. It has been a seamless transition for Sauce Gardner. What's your perspective and kind of view on what Sauce has been able to do?
Yeah, no, Sauce is different. Got the utmost respect for him and how the way he works. People think it's just like he got all the talent in the world, but with all that talent, he got so much, you know, humility and work ethic attached to it. So he puts the time in, and there's like not enough good things I can say about him. Like, he's been really working,
and he's got to be a lock to be rookie of the year, right?
You would think so, but you know how the voters do. They be tripping sometimes.
Why, you don't think they'll give him the respect? I think it's a lock. I'd be stunned if he doesn't win it.
No. I think it's a lock too, but some of them writers be acting funny sometimes, so.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Michael Carter here with us. What have your conversations been like with Breece Hall ever since, unfortunately, he got hurt? Because you guys were going to be a big 1-2 punch this year.
Yeah, you know, I check in with him, especially like when I'm, you know, at the bye week. I hit him up yesterday, but it was just about some fashion or whatever. But I talk to Breece pretty much every day. if I'm being honest, you know, just making sure he's stayed mental. And honestly, he is. He's probably, like, the most, like, calm person I've ever met. He's just always calm. So, you know, it's been good to just staying tapped in with him, making sure he knows that, you know, we still thinking about bro, and that way he can just grind in good spirits.
What have you noticed from James Robinson so far? Because he's been a really underrated back in the league for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, no, for sure. And he's physical. He has really good patience. He has good vision. He runs hard as hell. And he's a good teammate on top of everything. And I think I resonate, you know, a lot with James because I feel like I'm underrated as well. So, you know, we definitely feel like we have similarities of our journeys since we've gotten into the league as well. So he's a cool dude as well.
Wrapping up with Michael Carter, for people that don't believe in your quarterback, how would you try to sell them on what Zach Wilson will be as an NFL pro?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it comes down to the casual fan. Like right now, everybody knows that Zach can play. They saw him playing college. And he's had big games in the league. Understand that, you know, his style of game and every offense is different, but his style of game, it might not appeal to the casual fan. But the ones who really know football understand that Zach is doing a really good job and also understand that, you know, it's only going to get, you know, greater from here. So I think the more that people understand that Zach is actually doing really good when it really comes down to it, then they'll start to shut up. But you can't really listen to those people anyway. So Zach knows he's doing a good job, and Zach knows that his team, you know, that we believe in him. And at the end of the day, that's really all that matters.
So there's no doubt in your mind that he's the franchise quarterback for the Jets moving forward?
Man, no doubt in my mind.
All right, before we let you run, I got to talk about your Tar Heels. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring them up. Mac has the squad rolling. They're 8-1. Got a big game coming up this weekend against the Demon Deacons of Wake Forest. And my, oh my, isn't Drake May looking like he's a special player?
Unbelievable. What? Like, unbelievable. Drake May is, truthfully, we knew that he was going to be good. And I'm super proud of him, and I'm proud of the rest of the guys. And those guys are really balling. They got it rolling over there. Shout out to Mac Brown. I love him.
Well, Michael Carter, enjoy the bye week. We always appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much, and good luck the rest of the way.
All right, thanks, man.
There he is, Michael Carter from the Jets. I got to get to Marco Belletti here. And before we get to his latest CBS Sports Radio update, I haven't talked about this yet with Marco Belletti. And we probably should have brought it up yesterday, but it's still in the news. And it's made some pretty big headlines. What did you think about our coworker, Mraz, pooping his pants on the air after hearing a joke that was told and had something, let's just say, drop in his pants, and then he had to run to the bathroom to clean himself? You know Sean a very long time, so I wonder what your reaction is.
I don't even know exactly how to phrase this or say this. He needs to talk to someone. And I mean that in all honesty.
Did you? I saw him say, I think it was to Trista Crick, where he said, because she brought him on to talk to him, that this has happened like at least 7 or 8 times. Not here, but just 7 or 8 times in his adult life.
That's a concern.
Like, yeah, right.
You need to see a doctor. Like, there's something wrong with your diet or something. There's something wrong with you. You should be able to handle that. You should be able to contain yourself.
He was just laughing.
It's...
Have you ever pooped your pants?
No.
Not when you were a kid?
Well...
Everyone when they were a kid.
Well, in diapers, sure. Of course, everybody did. After that, no, I don't remember doing it. It's possible I did it as a a 5-6-year-old. It's possible. I don't remember.
Adult life, never...
No.
Upset stomach and...
No, not that okay. I can remember. No, but I mean,
not
like,
saying that it's a common occurrence, but
well, that's what I mean. Like, is this normal? Should you normally just, you know, be unable to?
I will say though, I give him credit. Not that it should happen, but it did happen, and he just owned it, which doesn't surprise me. Mraz has no shame.
That's the problem. Have some shame. Well, that's kind of my concern here.
So the funniest part about this whole thing is that we found out. I didn't know this. He brings an extra pair of underwear to work every day because this is a fear of his. So I guess this is a problem.
Yeah, again, see, that's why, like, as much as we can try to laugh and I get why it's funny.
You feel bad for him.
I'm more concerned for him. That, I mean, that's not good. There's something wrong there. You need help. Like, I don't know how to help you, but somebody obviously needs to help you. That should not be, you know, when you leave the house, if you're saying like, oh, I'll go to work, maybe should I bring the deodorant with me or something like that? Or you're a little concerned because it's 95 degrees out. I get it. You want to bring a second shirt. I get it. You're worried about your underwear? That's a problem. Yeah. That's a serious problem.
No, you're not wrong about that.
And like I said, and this is why, like, I don't want this to come across wrong, but like, he's a grown man. He's got a wife. He's got kids. I mean, like, are we serious?
I wondered how bad this was because you just saw him run away and scurry away and quickly scamper off into the bathroom. I saw a new video today. Where I guess DA did a post-show video, and they see a shot of Mraz walking out of the room, and his pants are, like, wet. So there was definitely some damage in there. This was not, a radio bit. This was an actual radio host, Sean Mraz, pooping himself over a joke on the air, literally pooping his pants, and it was mushy. Let's just say that. It was liquidy.
I really, honestly. Look, we've all felt like we were going to. We've all had moments where, you know, as you're driving home, you're basically like, you know, almost standing in the seat, like as you're driving. I get it. I understand the concept. But really? Are we serious?
It's not inconceivable for it to happen, like, once. But it's crazy that Mraz says in his adult life at least 7 times, and he prepares for this situation.
Well, I think you should prepare with what you're eating.
He should have to wear an adult diaper around.
But I mean, like, then you got to go see a doctor, check out your stomach. I mean, there's something wrong. There's something, obviously, maybe you're allergic to some of the stuff you're eating because it should not be.
You think Mraz is going to change his diet?
Oh, but I mean, like, it should not be overflowing out of you for no reason. Like, there's something wrong there.
All right. Don't want to belabor on this anymore than what we did. Well, you're really disgusted. That's why you're El Capitan. You're always looking out for everyone else.
Look, you're kind of crossing the line of, like, are we serious? And it's also a little bit of a concern. Like I said, if you're 25, it's a problem, but I could see, like, the more funny aspect of it. He's not 25. He's not. He's got a wife at home. He's got children at home. These children will grow. They're going to see this.
His kids probably go less in their pants than dad does.
But I mean, some sand, like, you know. I mean, this is something where if you did this when you were, you know, 7, this would follow you for life. Like, it's something's wrong. Something's really wrong. And he really needs to, instead of yucking it up and having fun with it and all that other stuff.
Needs to see a doctor.
Yeah, stop worried about having how many radio appearances to talk about how you can't, you know, contain yourself and actually maybe make an appointment and go see a doctor about your stomach.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I meant to bring that up to you yesterday, but we just didn't have time to get to it. So I wondered where you were going to be. I was actually a little bit surprised how concerned you are. But, hey, I thought you were going to kind of laugh at this a little bit more. But I'm surprised.
I wish I could. I can't. I'm sorry. We crossed over laughing and really concern and just disgust.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
It's just going to continue to get uglier for Dan Snyder. And for years, the NFL was playing with fire, and now they're getting burned. I love what Jim Irsay, which is crazy, he has to be the right messenger of this, had to say about Dan Snyder a few weeks ago, advocating for him to sell the team. Now this is where it gets really ugly, where the Attorney General of Washington, D.C. is suing the Commander's owner, his office, Dan Snyder, the Commanders, and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and the NFL for colluding to deceive the district's residents, the heart of the Commanders fan base, about an investigation into the toxic workplace culture. No wonder why all of a sudden magically Dan Snyder wanted to sell, because he realizes it's going to get really bad. Let me get myself out of the public spotlight and get my $5-6 billion. But now that may be a little bit too late. We'll see what happens from this. But for Commanders fans, you could really now see the light at the end of the tunnel. Or if you want to make a football analogy, your team is in the red zone. And it may be first and goal and the ball's at the 4-yard line. Just as long as you don't employ Pete Carroll or Darrell Bevell to be your offensive coordinator, it may look like Dan Snyder's going to be out of the NFL very, 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 very soon. So they stock up to Commanders fans because there's hope. Talking about my good friend Pete Carroll, let's hear Pete Carroll take a little shot at Russell Wilson.
If you notice, Geno's going off the wristband, you know, and that's a big help. It's smoothed things out, sped things up, cleaned things up, and that's part of it too. And you know, we never did that before. There was resistance to that, so we didn't do that before.
I like Petty Pete. Last year, he said all the right things, made it seem as if him and Russ were on the same page. We know that Pete Carroll was at one time the biggest believer in Russell Wilson. Then Russ gave up on him. Things got ugly the last 2 years. And now at 6-3, Pete's saying, how do you like me now, Russ? I'm even going to take a shot at you over our quarterback, Geno Smith, wearing the proper wristband. Think about how stupid that is, how petty it is, but I love it. Stock up, Pete Carroll. Blake Martinez, randomly retired today. Played really well last week. Played 91% of defensive snaps for the Raiders. Also for the Raiders, you get the news that Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow now going back on IR. And you're not going to be able to get on the field together. Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, and Derek Carr. And you play the Colts this week. That should be a win, but you never know. It's a big-time bleep storm right now for the Raiders. Give them a stock down. Let's hear Tom Brady. This is Tom Brady on the Let's Go podcast. Talk about the lack of effort he's seeing from his team.
There's definitely some things we do well. There's a lot of things we don't do well. And I think too much of good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad leaves you average. And no one's trying to be average. If you want to be a great team, you got to be way better than average. So correcting our mistakes, improving our effort, which that's probably the most embarrassing part of our team is our effort level on game day. And that's something we better fix.
And let's hear the head coach of the Tampa Bay and maybe never again Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Todd Bowles respond to that TB12 take.
It was huge after losing 3 weeks in a row. You know, you get very sour, and you have a very sour taste in your mouth for a long time. Not from lack of effort, but lack of execution, lack of doing things right. And the guys stayed together. They hung together. They came out tough. They fought. It's a team we haven't beaten in a while, and they came out with a win at the end, so it felt good.
That courtesy of Bucks Total Access. So Brady says there's an effort issue. Coach says it's a lack of execution. Seems like they're on the same page in Tampa Bay. I guess that's what happens when Brady runs the offense and Todd Bowles, even though he's the head coach in title, pretty much just runs the defense. Stock down to both. Let's hear DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray go at it, and then Cliff Kingsbury sprinkles himself into the situation too.
Boy, what you looking at, bro? What you see? Bro, you don't like that? You don't like the scene? Man, you don't like the scene on the 50? Come on, bro. Shit wide open.
Hey, offense, let's go. Let's go. Offense, let's go. Offense, let's go.
I'm trying to win.
Hey, we're good.
I'm trying to get you the ball. Calm the down.
Listen, same deal. Nothing they're doing, right? It's us. Nothing they're doing. It's us. Routine plays, get in tempo and go. Y'all good? Just settle down. They cannot stop us.
Cliff Kingsbury is the meme of that dog where the house is burning down and he's saying, everything's fine. He got the cup of coffee. Everything's good. Don't worry. DeAndre Hopkins just said to Kyler Murray, I want to win. Is that him saying, I want to win? I don't know what the heck you're doing right now because it doesn't seem like you want to win if you're not getting me the ball. That's what it seems like. Tell me if I'm wrong there, Ryan.
That's what it sounds like. And he's open. You want to win. Pass to the ball and I'm open.
Yikes. I don't think Hopkins is back next year. And that's a big-time problem because Kyler Murray can't do much without DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's going to request a trade 2 years left on that contract. Stock down. That's not a good look for Kyler Murray. And finally, the Lakers lost last night, 114-101 to the Los Angeles Clippers. And now LeBron James is out, going to be day-to-day with a groin injury. It's an ugly, ugly, ugly start for the Los Angeles Lakers, and some may even say it's getting late, very, very early for the Lakers, as this is just a dumpster fire. They are 2-9. Stock down to the Lakers. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Hot Take Hickey, each and every one of you, for listening, tweeting. You can always give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. I'll be at UFC 281 coming up on Saturday night. So if you want some of the behind-the-scenes access, I will try to deliver that to you. And before we basically say the week's over, we got a show tomorrow. Dana White's going to join us. Jersey Jerry will join us, as we previously said in this segment. And we got to go through all the games in the NFL and all the big games in college football. Big Football Friday tomorrow. And also, you got some eye on football later on Sunday with me for 8 hours. All right, talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Be safe. Peace.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.